I hear from a lot of makeup artists who are just starting out their careers and they are completely overwhelmed when it comes to what they need in their first kit. So if you're there yourself, or maybe you've taken a break from working and you're just getting back into it, this episode is for you. I'm going to go over some do's and don'ts when it comes to kit building. And more importantly, I hope I'm going to give you some guidance and a kit building strategy to follow so you're able to make good financial decisions and decisions that you can be confident in when it comes to purchasing stuff for your kit, so you can get out there and work and practice as soon as possible, because that should really be your main goal when you're building your first kit. Thanks so much for joining me today for this podcast. My name is Angie. I'm your host and I'm a full-time freelance makeup artist. So let's get into it. So when it comes to building your first kit, I have to say I'm actually so glad when I first started, there really wasn't social media. The internet didn't exist as it does now. I wasn't being influenced by everyone and everything on a daily basis like so many of you are right now. I was essentially really only influenced by working professionals and what they would share in magazines or what I saw on their makeup stations on TV. So it was a lot easier for me to build my kit when I did. It was still challenging because I had no help from anybody else. I had no guidance. I didn't have anybody that I could ask about anything. But I think now just the sheer volume of makeup that is being advertised to us daily is insane. And I think all of the stuff on social, all of the advertisements, all of the tutorials, I think it's just really taking us further and further away from remembering what's really important when it comes to building your kit, and in this case, building your first kit. I wanted to structure this episode with a list of do's and don'ts, but I think it's going to be best to start with some bigger picture things that I want you to remember about building your kit and definitely come back to. So the first thing is your kit is going to be the biggest financial investment you're going to make in your business. As I've said, and you've probably heard me say this repeatedly, it takes money to make money in this profession, and your kit is where the majority of that spending is going to start, or investing, if you want to put it that way. I think it's safe to say in your first year, you're probably going to be spending a few thousand dollars on your kit. Now, keep in mind, I'm Canadian, living in Canada, so the numbers that I'm going to be throwing out here, I'm thinking about this in Canadian dollars. I did some quick math, and of course, these numbers that I'm about to throw out, it really depends on where you're located, what you have access to, the type of work you're going to be doing, if you already have a base kit from school or not. So there's lots of room for movement with these numbers, but I think when I did a quick calculation, I would say over the first year, you're probably going to be spending between $3,000 and $5,000 on your kit. And I do think some of you are probably gonna land between that $5,000 and $7,000 range, because you have to think about the cost of cosmetics is higher, the cost of shipping is higher, there's all your lighting, the cases for your kit, your disposables, all the non-makeup related items that you need, buying products for specific jobs and shoots in addition to what is in your kit. This is something you're gonna have to do. Some of you listening right now may be having a heart attack, some of you maybe have already done the math yourself, and I think if you're doing it right and you're prepared, that's the range in terms of what you're going to be spending. Because really for me, and there's probably a lot of people listening that are new to me and new to how I educate and speak on the industry, but I really think, especially nowadays, because this industry is so competitive, there's so many of us, for you to really stand out, you do have to be prepared. So that means just investing more in your kit. And as we get into this with the do's and don'ts and just more information that I'm going to share with you, I think hopefully you'll get on the same page as me and you'll understand where I'm coming from. Now, I did mention if you've already gone to school for makeup, you'll probably have some sort of base kit that they've provided for you. And from what I've seen with a lot of the more popular makeup schools, the kit is a good starting point, but it's not going to be a kit where you can just graduate from school and the next day head to set for a job. There's going to be more that you're going to have to invest, but purchasing a kit from a school program or a course, it is going to give you a bit of a head start because it's already going to be curated for you. Hopefully the brands that they've included are good brands, and there may also be a pro discount attached to your school program, or after you finish your school program, you'll be able to get a pro discount. So that of course will affect how much you're going to be investing, but this is just the first thing I wanted to start with to get you thinking about numbers, how much you need to invest. If you're thinking about working full-time as a makeup artist, you want to be saving money for this initial investment. The second sort of big picture item will help you better understand that first range of numbers that I threw out, that $3,000 to $7,000. The money that you invest in your kit is not just money on supplies, because you also have to think about it as an investment in your training and education, because part of working in this job is learning how to use different products, because not every product is going to be great for every job. And the only way to find that out is through buying product and trying different things. So you have to spend money to learn which products you like and which you don't. So think of part of that initial investment in your kit as a training and education expense. The third thing I want to remind you of is that you actually don't need a lot of product in terms of volume, but you will need variety in your kit. So what I mean by that is it's better to buy 10 small bottles of foundation, different types of foundation, different shades, than it is to have 5 really huge bottles because they're on sale or whatever, because you really don't need a lot of makeup per face. So I hope you'll keep that in mind as you're shopping as well. I would encourage you to think of your kit as an employee of your business. It has to help and not hinder your performance. And you want to essentially make sure you're paying this employee properly and regularly to help you with your job. We'll expand on this a little later in the do's and don'ts, but that's something else I want you to keep in mind. When buying products for your kit, it's always good to remind yourself what works for one person may not work for another. Your kit is yours and it has to work for you and your clients and your artistry. No matter who is telling you about what to buy, if you feel a product is just not working for you, that's okay. You have to remind yourself of this and you have to come back to this, because I know a lot of us continue to use products because we've heard they're good, but we just can't make it work for us for whatever reason. So if this is happening for you and you've tried everything and you've researched and you just can't figure it out, it's time to move on to something else. And the last thing before we get into the do's and don'ts, I just wanted to remind you that as you're building your business in those first few years, one top priority for you should be to do whatever it takes to qualify for pro discounts. The more you spend on your kit, the less you earn, so be mindful of that. And we really want to continue to support other professionals in our industry and put money back into the brands that support us. And I think that's super important. But now let's get to the fun part. I'm going to list off a bunch of do's and don'ts. And I think after looking at this list, there's probably more do's than don'ts, but that's okay because I think the end result will still be the same. Hopefully this will still be helpful for you. So do get comfortable with uncertainty. This is, I would say, a general rule about working in this job. It's full of uncertainty. You won't be able to anticipate every product you're going to need if something goes wrong. This is all part of the learning process. Mistakes are going to happen. You're going to wish you had something in your kit that you don't, and that's okay. Everyone goes through this. But what's important is that if you need a product that you don't have in your kit, you really only should be making that mistake one time and learning from it. I do hope that a lot of my content will save you some of those mistakes, but you're going to make them anyways. You can also minimize this uncertainty when you have good training in the fundamentals, so color theory, of course, hint, hint, and you have multi-purpose and versatile products in your kit. You could buy every single trending product known to man. You could have a whole kit of the most expensive brands, but if you don't know how to use them, how are you going to troubleshoot when something comes up? You do want to pay attention to what your needs are on the jobs you're working and stock your kit accordingly. This is how you're going to build the best kit for you, which is the whole point of this process. And this just goes beyond your product selection. It goes for your station setup, the way you pack your kit, the containers that you use to put things in, the palettes that you're making. Let me throw out a couple of examples for you. So let's say you do a job and you spend a longer amount of time than you should looking for cotton swabs. And when you find them, the container that they're in, you're having trouble getting them out, you pull them out, a million cotton swabs fall everywhere. Things like that should make you think, okay, what can I do? This is costing me some time. It's a bit awkward. So maybe after that job, you change how you're going to pack your cotton swabs. Maybe you'll take a few and just set them out on your station so you're not spending time or wasting time looking for them while you're working. That's one example. Another example would be, let's say you've been trying to make a cream blush work and you just can't get it to work. You're finding it too difficult. Maybe you think it's like pushing your foundation around. Maybe you want to try a different formulation or something more liquid. That's something you're going to want to invest some money in so you can find the right product for you. Or maybe the foundation you're currently using has too much coverage and you need a more sheer option. These are all things you need to pay attention to when you're out there working. You need to be efficient and you need your products to perform well. So pay attention to all those little things. This next do is kind of related to the previous thing we just talked about. Do make sure your products help and not hinder you. Your products need to make you look good on the job. If you're struggling with something you purchase in your kit, you've done research as to how people use that product and it's still not working for you, move on and try something else. You definitely want to track your spending and save your receipts. This is something you should be doing anyway for your accounting and your taxes, but also when you review what you spend every couple of months or at the end of every year versus what you're earning, this is a great way to limit unnecessary spending on different kit items. Do invest in products that come in palettes with a good shade range. This is especially important when you're first starting, and you want to make sure you also incorporate a range of textures and finishes, specifically with your foundations, concealers, and lipsticks are kind of easy to adjust, but a good lipstick palette will help as well. This will help you show up to jobs prepared, and it will also help you figure out what shades you use more often and which shades you don't. Then when you go to refill or purchase a different product, you'll know what you need more of, what you're using, and what you aren't. You do want to make sure you're shopping with brands that have affordable shipping. So if something's just too far away from where you live, you've got to try something else. If you can take advantage of free shipping without spending excessively, that's going to be helpful. And you have to get over just buying what is trending because you need to have it. The great thing about this industry right now is that there is an abundance of really good products that are accessible at different price points. And you should be, in most cases, making decisions that are financially responsible. So if you have to refill something, for example, you can do that without bankrupting yourself on shipping charges. Do buy things in person unless you absolutely cannot based on where you live. Shopping in person always gives you a better idea of undertones, the shade range, texture. It can kind of give you some hints about the performance of the product. And sometimes shade ranges online, even though there's some brands doing great photos of their products, great swatches, there's certain information that you just can't get from a picture of something versus actually seeing it and trying it. And you want to be making well-informed decisions about what you buy for your kit. You do want to prioritize purchasing products that help you work hygienically. This should be at the absolute top of your list. And if you don't know the first thing about working hygienically, check the show notes. I've got an online course for you, but always think about hygiene before you purchase anything. If you can, you do want to save your biggest shopping for pro shows or pro events where you can take advantage of discounts that you might not qualify for, especially at the beginning of your career. So you can also see and feel the products you want to buy. You can talk to other working professionals. This is a great atmosphere to shop in. With your foundations and concealers, you do want to purchase pre-made palettes, and you should also be purchasing adjusters and correctors. You'll want to include some brands that just make individual shades so you can try different things and have a variety of finishes and textures in your kit. This is something you need to do. You need to experiment, but purchasing those pre-made palettes is going to be very helpful. And when you do shop standalone shades, unless you're familiar with the undertones of your clients and what you use a lot of, you should be purchasing foundations with a neutral undertone, and then you can adjust as necessary. Neutral undertone foundations, concealers, they're really just so much easier to manipulate than, for example, using something that's super warm in undertone and trying to make it really cool. Unless you're like a color theory wizard, you're probably not going to be able to execute this easily and quickly on the job. So start with neutral and go from there. And in terms of the types of foundations you need in your kit, what coverage, don't overthink it. You need something that can be a light or sheer coverage. You need something that can be a light to medium coverage, and you need something that's going to be a fuller coverage. So this could mean three different types of foundation altogether. It could be one or two different types that you can manipulate and sheer down or build up easily. So don't overthink that. You just need light, medium, and full. That's always what has worked best for me. And of course, in the show notes, I will include a link to what I'm currently carrying in my kit so you can get a better idea of that. And before we move on, I'm sure you're wondering why I'm not calling out specific products, and that is because the artists who follow my content, who listen to this podcast, they're located worldwide. And I know it can be a bit confusing, and I don't want anyone making decisions based on what I'm currently using in my kit that may cost them like an insane amount of shipping based on where they live. I'm always very transparent about the products that I use, but I think what I wanted to do for you in this episode is just give you general guidelines to follow, and you can do your research based on what's available where you live, based on speaking to other artists in your market. Maybe you're going to go to some pro shows, and I think that's a better way to approach than just listing all of my favorite products that I love that people might not be able to purchase where they live. Or it could be that you're interested in pursuing a career that is completely different and you have different aspirations. That's why I didn't want to get into specifics. I just felt it would be better to just give you more general advice that anybody living anywhere could use and apply to building their first kit. Okay, here is a very important don't. So do not depot anything until you've been working or practicing for a while, or unless something very obviously needs to be depotted for hygiene reasons or just ease of use. And these products can be easily depotted because the cost of depotting, including your time and materials, is so extreme. The issue that I have with it is firstly the cost, your time and your money. The cost of doing this job is already insane. When you're new to makeup artistry, part of building a kit that works for you is not only your product selection, it's not only the cost, but it's also how easily you can use the products. This means, you know, how you set them up on your station. If you're depotting them, they have to be in palettes or packaging that makes sense for how you like to work with the product. There's also the cost of damaged product that you're going to 100% have to deal with, because depotting damages a lot of products, especially if you're new and you're not used to doing it. You're also going to have to invest in materials to depot properly so you don't break product. So there's just a lot of time and effort that goes into this. And why would you want to spend more money on products that you're not even sure if they're going to work for you, if they look the way you want them to on camera? So that's something I want you to consider, and I know it's hard to fight the urge because we see all these videos all the time, but I do want to encourage you to just show some restraint with that until you're very certain that the products that you're purchasing are going to work for you and you are going to use them, and they're going to work for you once they've depotted. So how they function in their new packaging is going to help you carry less, work faster, and it's also still going to look good because clients just sit and look at our kits all day when they're sitting in our chair. And some of the product, once you depot it, it doesn't look as good as it did in the original packaging, or it gets dirty. So when you do depot, there's also going to be extra time on the back end making sure you're cleaning these things regularly, every week, every job sometimes, especially with powders. You want to make sure that the packaging is very easy to clean. And speaking of cleaning, you want to make sure when you are depotting, if this is something that you decide to do, that you are doing so hygienically. I see videos online that make my skin crawl. I would die if someone put makeup on my face that was depotted in the way that I see on social media. I see so many of these videos and I just can't believe people are doing this and think it's okay, and then they're actually putting it out on social. But anyways, working hygienically starts before you get to your job. It starts with how you handle the items in your kit. So that's something to consider. I would say easy depotting would be things like loose powder, foundations in glass bottles. They can all go in those 15 mil dropper bottles and they work well. Lipsticks are easy to depot into palettes. Skin prep, stuff like that is simple. It's not going to take a lot of time. You're probably not going to have a lot of damaged product with that. So those are just things that you may want to start with first, and then give yourself some time to work with the products in your kit so you understand how you want to work with them. And you're depotting in a way that actually keeps you more organized, speeds up your application. That's what's important. I did touch on this briefly in the intro, but do focus on variety of product. So a variety of textures and finishes and shades, especially if you're trying new products or brands. I know we see items online that come in bonus sizes, or there's like a buy one, get one free, or there's a bigger size is a better value. But if you don't end up liking or using that product, it's better to buy three different products you can try and experiment with over one giant bottle of something that you may or may not like. This is another really important one. Do spend money on products that can help where your artistry is weakest. And by that, I mean, if you struggle, let's say working with deeper skin tones, buy more shades of foundation or concealer in those deeper tones so you don't get stuck. The job of a professional makeup artist is to be able to work on all skin tones and have products suitable for all skin tones. So if you aren't comfortable with certain undertones, maybe it's deeper skin, maybe it's olive undertones, undertone. Maybe it's really fair skin. Double down on purchasing more products for those undertones so you can still do your job even if your training and your color theory knowledge is not quite there yet. Because at the beginning of your career, you need to take every opportunity you can to prove yourself and build a good reputation so you can create that momentum and create more opportunities for yourself. So if you show up to a job with more options than you might need, at least you're prepared and you don't hurt your reputation. Let's say you're terrible at picking lipstick shades, for example. I know a lot of people do struggle with this. Buy a bunch of different palettes of different shades of lip colors from pro-friendly brands because they do exist. And then you have a variety to choose from. And you can actually like have your clients look at the lipsticks with you and say, you know, which one do you like? What do you like to see yourself in? What lipstick shade is similar to the one that you use? It's just a very easy way to ensure you can deliver when you're on the job. And remember, it's not always gonna be like this. And that huge investment at the beginning of your career is gonna pay you back because you won't fall short on a job. You won't look unprepared or like you don't have the skills. Part of this investment is to make sure you are prepared for the job. So wherever you are feeling not as strong in your training, if you're a little bit nervous or uncomfortable, just really make sure your kit is stocked with products that can help get you through that. Do not buy 5 shades of foundation and think that is going to be enough for a pro kit, especially when you're newer, unless you're like a color theory makeup application prodigy, which maybe some of you listening are, and that's great. But for most of us, and I'll really make sure you guys hear me when I say this, it's all about being prepared. And if you are even just the least bit unsure of your color theory training, the 5 shades of foundation is not gonna cut it. Now, I know schools do provide smaller kits, so sometimes people just have to use what they have from school. I also know newer MUAs see more experienced MUAs working with just a few shades and some adjusters, and there's the impression that this is just how you work as a pro artist, so people try to, I guess, mimic that in their own kit. But really, it just comes down to making sure you're prepared. With my own kit, I have a very extensive shade range, not because I don't understand color theory and I don't want to use it, but sometimes it's just faster to have the foundation shade ready to go. And because my clients expect so much of me in such little time based on where I'm at in my career, sometimes I don't have time to spend a lot of the application mixing and adjusting. And it's just faster for me to have a wide range of shades. So this is an example of I have built my kit based on what works for me. But I would say just generally, if you are starting out, incorporate different shades. Don't just stick with 4 or 5 shades and try to do your best and figure it out on the job. I think our industry is so competitive right now, and I really want you to make sure you're taking advantage of every opportunity you have to make a good impression on people. And I think that's done when you are prepared. And I don't think if you're a newer artist, having only 5 foundation shades and some correctors and adjusters, I don't think this is everyone's best attempt at being prepared for a job. Just my opinion. Of course, you have to do what you feel is best for you, but this is just some information I hope you'll think about. I will speak from just my own experience. I think my makeup brushes are the biggest cost in my kit, and also my complexion products. So that's where I invest the most money in my kit. And I think you'll find the same, because to be honest, the complexion piece of our makeup application, the foundation match, how it looks on camera, the level of coverage, like all of that stuff, nothing will kill your reputation faster than a foundation that doesn't match. It's the first thing people see. The way cameras are now, even just a phone camera, it's very visible on camera. And it's just like the one basic thing you have to make sure you are nailing. Other things you can kind of figure out and troubleshoot, but if that foundation is off, or the complexion is off, or the concealer shade is off, this is gonna be, it's really tough for people to forget about that when they work with you. It's something I know even clients that I've had, they've dropped makeup artists in the past because the foundation just always did not look quite right. So it's just a really important piece. So for me, my brushes and my complexion products, those have always cost the most in my kit. This is a good reminder I wanted to include because I know how hard it is. Our attention gets shifted, especially if you're scrolling on social, to new products and new things that you want to buy. And when you start making money, you're just like, oh, I have extra money, I can buy more things. But I would suggest trying to do your best to use up everything in your kit at the beginning and only refill when something's done. And then you can move on to something else or just repurchasing the same product again. You really want to get your money's worth and learn your products. So try to use up everything you can and don't be easily influenced to buy things you may not need. Don't buy more than you can possibly use. The example of buying more because the value is better is one that I think is a good way to illustrate this. You don't want to do that at the beginning unless you are absolutely sure you love a product and will use it up. And I mean, actually use it up. Financial responsibility is so important all throughout your career. And I think some of the easiest decisions to make where you can make a positive impact on your finances are in the area of kit spending. And truthfully, you have to believe me when I tell you this, you really do not need a lot of makeup to do a job. And smaller quantities and palettes can actually last you quite a while. Do record your expiry dates of the products you're using. This is a part of working hygienically, but also if you keep track of when products are expiring, it can act as a good reminder to use things up. So none of your spending goes to waste and none of your product goes to waste. And in the show notes, I'm actually going to give you a link to a product expiry date log that I use in my business. And this template is actually from an app called Notion, which is free, and you can use it. So you can install this on your phone if you want. It's very easy to use, very self-explanatory, and the expiry date log will also alert me. And I've programmed, I think it's like 2 weeks or a month, depending on what it is, to send me an alert when my products are expiring so I can make sure to put those products at the forefront and use them up. Do shop at pro stores and support brands that offer pro discounts. I know we kind of touched on this earlier, but it does help the industry and it will stretch your dollar further. Also, when you shop at reputable pro stores are kind of doing the work for you of narrowing down what pros in your market or in your industry are enjoying, what they use, and what makes sense. So this is kind of doing some of the detective work for you. So that's why I love shopping at pro stores. Also, you may want to invest early in any brands that allow you to customize palettes. I know it may not seem like it right now, but there will come a time, I promise you, where you are going to want to customize every little thing in your kit because you will have a better understanding in the future of what works for you, what doesn't work, what you like, what you don't like. And knowing you already can work with and like products or can purchase products with a pro discount that are completely customizable to your needs as an artist, this is the best thing. It just makes our lives so much easier. And it just allows you to purchase things that you're actually going to use so you're not wasting any money. And you're, of course, going to be able to do your job faster, easier, all that stuff. Do not buy anything that has bulky packaging or packaging that cannot be easily cleaned and disinfected unless you're sure you can depot those products into something that is easy to clean and that won't damage your products in the process. I know sometimes it's the packaging that lures us in with certain things, but having bulky, heavy packaging in your kit, it's going to catch up to you eventually. And of course, not being able to clean things. A great example of this is just cardboard eyeshadow palettes. The thing with the cardboard palettes, they're very inexpensive to produce, so they keep costs lower for brands that are selling you products in this packaging, but you can't disinfect them, you can't clean them, and they start to get beat up pretty quickly, and then they look really gross in your kit. And remember, 100% of your clients are staring at your kit, and you do want to make sure that things look good, but you also want to make sure hygiene-wise, you can clean and disinfect everything so you're keeping your clients safe. So try to avoid doing that. Do not spend money on items like expensive mascaras and very expensive lipsticks at the beginning because you're going to go through such a large quantity of these products, and this is a good way to keep your costs down. And just a note about drugstore items. Yes, we know there are good drugstore items out there, but I want you to minimize how obvious these are in your kit if you are going to be including them in your kit. I do want to make sure you have a very strong start in this industry, and I want you to be able to kind of blend into the existing group of pro artists easily in your market and as fast as possible. And in order to do that, your kit has to look and function like a pro artist kit, right? Your kit has to look like the kit of somebody who's been doing this for 10 years. You'll be more confident about what's in your kit and your clients will kind of sense that. And I do know that in many places around the world, drugstore products are the norm because that's all people have access to, and that is totally fine. But if you are not in a market like this, just minimize how obvious these products are in your kit. You do want to make sure you're buying disposables in bulk to save on your costs. When it comes to adding more luxury products, speaking of drugstore products, of course you want to have a few luxury items in your kit, but you only want to add these in when they're going to be a complete home run, meaning your clients are going to love them. They're versatile. They do what they say they're going to do. Right now, just from my own kit, if I could give you some examples, I think Charlotte Tilbury Pillow Talk Lipstick is a great example of a luxury product that's a home run. Clients love it. It looks good on a lot of different skin tones. Hollywood Flawless Filter is another product. So things like that. It's good to add these in, provided they're products that are actually going to work for you. Do pay attention to who is influencing you and be mindful of why they're influencing you. I would prefer that you be influenced by a working artist where you can actually see that they're using the products they say they are and doing the work that you want to do versus someone who is just maybe an influencer or doing affiliate marketing for a brand, meaning they're just getting paid to say something is great, but they aren't actually using the product in practice or using the product in a way that you would use the same product. I know it's easier said than done, but just try to be more mindful. And something I did want to make clear on this topic, if I mention anything, any product, lighting system, I don't know, bag for my kit, whether it's in an email, post, podcast, it's something I have used or am currently using myself and would recommend. I do have a couple of brands and retailers that I have affiliate codes for, but I currently do not have any brands paying me directly for content at this point, and I do hope that changes, but I want you to know that I would never talk about something or advertise something that I would not use myself. Now, this doesn't mean that everything I like and use and talk about is going to work for you. Remember, I've been doing this for over 20 years, and I'm very tuned into what my needs are as an artist, what I like, what I dislike, what I like to see on camera, what works for my style, what works for my clients. Everything in my kit is curated for me, and you will end up like this too, but I want you to know that anything I put out to you that is a product, a bag, anything like that, I would never just blindly post about something that I haven't used. So I just want to make sure you know that. I'm sure you know this about me if you've been following my content for a while, but I'm not just going to post for the sake of posting or just because someone's offering me money to do so. I would not talk about anything unless I have used it myself. So the last thing I want you to know, you do have to be patient with the kit building process. It's a learning process like everything else. You're going to have some successes, some failures, some mistakes. Sometimes things are going to cost you more than you would want them to, but this is just how our job goes sometimes. And remember that cost, it is a training and education cost sometimes. And that is it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I created this episode so that you would have something to reference and come back to if you're in the process of building your kit, if you get stuck, if you get overwhelmed. And there's also some information for you in the show notes. You will find a link to my product expiry date log and a link to the products that I carry in my kit. And for things like complexion products, I always include a list of shades as well. That'll just give you a point of reference and you can see some of the brands that I like to use. And I think that's it for this week. I will talk to you next week. Have a good one.